and blessed to have some beautiful decorations from Sue and Peter. Thank you. Just over a week ago, I spent a few days with about 25 other pastors in the Thousand Islands area. And sometimes people say, like, what do you do as a pastor during the week? And really, my week is very, very varied between studying the scriptures, preparing sermons, meeting with people, counseling, sometimes even going out in evangelism with some of you here. But one of the things I did, and meeting with pastors, connecting, going to prayer meetings. But one of the things that we did a couple of weeks or last week was with 25 other pastors, we gathered to learn how to be better expositional Bible teachers, how to learn to develop our skills in preaching. And there was it was the launch of something called the Timothy Trust in Canada, which is an organization started by the pastor at the Metropolitan Bible Church, who helped train a new generation of preachers to teach expositionally the Word, as well as to encourage those who are already doing it. And so it was definitely an encouragement to be there. I met people from all across Canada, different denominations. There are definitely some in our denomination, but it was really encouraging for me to be there amongst other pastors who want to teach the scriptures and teach the Bible, expositional teaching, and to learn some new skills. We had some people from England who have been doing this for many years who came to just encourage us in it. So that's just to give you a little update on something I had been involved with, and I'm looking forward to being involved in future conferences like that. Last week, I came across the title of an article online, and this caught my attention because the article said, it was written by this a blogger, Cynthia Sass, posted on health.com, and the article read, "Your Thanksgiving feast might be better for you than you think." I was like, wow, I got to read on here. So the author went on to explain that the components of a traditional Thanksgiving meal actually have a lot of benefits to your health if they are ate in moderation. That's the key word, moderation. Take turkey, for example. A 3-ounce portion of skinless turkey breast can provide 25 grams of lean protein with just a few grams of fat, along with B vitamins, minerals, including a significant amount of selenium, which acts as an antioxidant. I did not know. There's also sweet potatoes, another Thanksgiving special. These are antioxidant powerhouses. Bursting with immune-supporting vitamins A and C, they provide energy-boosting vitamin B as well, potassium, which helps regulate blood pressure, and manganese, a mineral that helps produce collagen and promotes skin and bone health. The anti-inflammatory compounds in sweet potatoes also help fend off chronic diseases, including type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. So eat lots of sweet potatoes. That's the bottom line. Another beloved ingredient of our Thanksgiving meal is cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce. Well, cranberries are well known to counteract urinary tract infections, but what is less well known, and what I didn't know until reading this article, was that according to some studies, cranberries reduce LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, and increase HDL, the good cholesterol. So there you go. Eat lots of cranberries as well. So you don't need to feel guilty when you eat that Thanksgiving meal. Again, if you eat it in moderation. But some of you, that needs to be said, right? And it got me thinking about the spiritual benefits of Thanksgiving. And so I decided to title this talk, Thanksgiving, Good for Your Health. But the health that I'm talking about is the spiritual health, and the Thanksgiving that I wanted to talk about today is not the meal per se, but the attitude and the act of giving thanks to God as part of our life and our routine. And so I just would invite you, if you have a Bible, to take a look at, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're actually just going to look at one verse. Some of you may be happy about that because we've been going through the Gospel of John. And when I've been covering a passage in John's Gospel, it's been like 20, 30 verses. And sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming. I know that. But if we don't do it for John's Gospel, we'll be going through it for about 5 years. And so I am trying to shorten it in as much best as I can. But today we're just going to take a break from that. and going to look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians. And what I want to do is read just the sort of the context, and then it'll help us. I'll just read from verses, let me read from verse 12. For now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's just pray as we continue our message. Lord God, we just come before you today, and we thank you for the blessing of being able to look at your word together, and we just pray that this would be helpful and useful as we study together, and we pray that your word would just touch our hearts, Lord, that you would just take it and you would really apply it to our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put the verse up there for you because it'll just help you understand what it's all about. Now, I've lost my clicker, but that's okay. We can just keep going. Even if it's not here, it's okay. Oh, here we go. Thank you, Aaron. There you go. So, as I looked at this verse, I really thought of three threefold breakdown. And what I want to ask the question this morning is, we're going to look at the what, the when, and the why. The what, the when, and the why. So we're going to start with the what. What is this telling us to do? What is this passage about? Well, it's quite clear, I think. Give thanks. Give thanks. And notice how this is not just a suggestion. It's not just a good idea, but as believers in Jesus Christ, we are told that we should give thanks. Now notice there's no object after the verb, right? It doesn't say give thanks to somebody. So the question may come to people's minds, well, what is it? Give thanks to who? Are we giving thanks to people or to God? Well, I believe the context tells us that the object of our giving thanks, at least in this context, is to be God. For example, if you just back up in the passage we read a couple of verses earlier, it talks about, or even a verse earlier, it says pray continually. Again, there's no object to that verb, but it's understood that prayer is to God. And so this, by similar deduction, it's understood that the giving thanks that it's talking about here is the giving thanks to God. And why do we give thanks? Because first it says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Everything good that you have, that I have, is a gift from God. And I really want to stress this morning, because we can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that, well, if I've got a good job, or I've got money in my bank, or a nice home, a nice place to call home, it's because somehow I deserve it, or somehow I did something to deserve this. But this verse is saying, no, the reason you have good things is ultimately from God. It's ultimately because he has given it to you as a gift. And so, the money that you have in your bank or just think about it. Who gave you the job in the first place? You say, well, the company offered me the job, or the city, or the hospital. No, but who gave you the ability to work and go to that job? And who gave you the health to go to do that job and to work? Well, ultimately, you keep asking that question. The source is God. The source is God. He gives you the health, the ability to do it. He gives you the skills. He gave you the knowledge. He gave you the ability and the health. And so in that sense, everything you have, everything I have, really, it actually has to be seen as God who's provided it. Now, this brings up another question. What do we give thanks about? What are we to do in this giving thanks? Well, I'll just put up a few things that came to my mind. First of all, we should be thanking God for the material blessings we have received. Second of all, we should thank him for the spiritual blessings we've received, namely salvation in Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, all your sins are forgiven. You have the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of salvation, something that you can thank God for. You know, we should thank God for the ways he's helped us in the past. You should be thankful for the ways that he's answered prayers in the past or things that have happened to you, the good things again. You could be thankful for his abiding presence. That means the fact that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. You can be thankful, and we should be thankful for the promises that he has for our future, because Jesus has overcome sin and death. He will bring us to heaven. He will bring us to glory in heaven. We have so much to be thankful for. I was looking a little bit online, and I came across some statistics from Relevant magazine. I think it's a Christian magazine. And they were giving some interesting statistics about the world's wealth and distribution and how wealthy, especially we are in the West. And one of the statistics I saw said that 80% of the world's population live on less than $10 per day. 80% of the world's population lives on less than $10 a day. 33%, so a third of the world, live on less than $2 a day. That means your coffee costs as much as many people spend in a whole day, just to put it in perspective. Another statistic I read said that if you have clothes in your closet, food in your extra food in your fridge, at least $1,000 in your bank, you're wealthier than 75% of the world's population. BNN Bloomberg recently did a special analysis of the wealthiest people and what makes them wealthy, and gives a detailed breakdown of, you know, if you are if you have over $1,000 of net assets, that includes, you know, your cell phone, your clothes, your food, the furniture, you are wealthier than a certain percentage. And then it goes on and details these things in incredible detail. And it's just overwhelming when you realize that if you have food in your fridge and clothes on your back and at least $1,000, you're wealthier than 75% of the world. Wow. And so here we are today. That would include us. And so when I say the material blessings we received, that just puts it a bit in perspective, I think. We have so, so much to be thankful for. We have so, so much. And then there's the freedoms that we enjoy. Many of you have come to Canada and some from countries that you don't have freedom to worship and even gather like this. And so we have so much to be thankful for when we even just gather like this on a Sunday like this. So that's the what. Give thanks to the Lord. And then notice that this, but what about, you know, we've talked about the good things, but what about when bills pile up? What about when the money runs low? What about when people around us disappoint us and hurt us? What about when we don't get the job we want? Or what about when we lose a loved one? What about sickness? We get sick. We get diagnosed with something. What about illness that overtakes us? What then? Can we still give thanks? Are we still to live out this? How can we live out this verse as Christians? And that brings us to the when. The what may be simple enough, but it's the when that deepens this idea in our life. Notice in this verse is give thanks in all circumstances. Do you notice the preposition there? It's the word in, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. When someone sins against us, we aren't required to give thanks for their sin. A lot of Christians take a verse like this and completely misunderstand it, as if they are to give thanks when evil things happen to them and almost to give thanks for the sin that is done. No, that's not at all what this verse is saying. This verse says give thanks in all circumstances, meaning we aren't required to give thanks for the sin that's done against us, but we can give thanks in the midst of difficult circumstances and painful circumstances. You see the difference? This is where the rubber meets the road. You might not like, I might not like the circumstance I'm in, or you may not like the circumstance you're in, but if God has spoken through the scriptures, which he has, then this verse is telling you and me to give thanks in the middle of those circumstances. What does this look like? Well, the Bible's full of examples, isn't it? Let me just take you to one of them in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, there's an account of the Apostle Paul, and he's going to the city of Philippi, which is basically Europe. So the first city in Europe that is reached with the gospel is the city of Philippi, and they bring the gospel there, and Paul is intent on sharing the message of good news, which is that Jesus Christ died, he rose again, through him we can have forgiveness of our sins, and he's going around preaching, and there's this demon-possessed fortune teller girl whose owners, a bunch of evil men, are exploiting her and stuff. And Paul, at a certain point, turns around and commands the evil spirit to leave her, which it does. And these evil men, because they were exploiting her for money, now they can't make the money that they wanted to off her. And so they grab Paul and Silas, and they bring them before the magistrates and accuse them of basically, throwing the city in an uproar, causing problems. Well, of course, they are talking about their own problem. And without as so much as a fair hearing or trial, Paul and Silas are flogged and thrown into prison. And you can pick it up in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Now, let me just back up here. It says in verse 22, the crowd joined the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Okay, so they're stripped, they're beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Everyone know what stocks are? Those kind of wooden beam that immobilizes you, immobilizes your hands or your feet in this case. Well, these stocks would lock your feet in a position that was very uncomfortable. And so it would cause severe cramping. And the flogging that they had, that we read about, a few verses there earlier in verse 23, the flogging would have ripped flesh off their backs and sides. Open wounds. They would be bleeding. The sting of this flogging would be excruciating. So they're in excruciating pain. They're embarrassed because they're stripped, basically naked. They were beaten without a fair trial, so they're humiliated. And you might think in that circumstance it would be justifiable to have a pity party. Well, look what happens in verse 25, because they don't. It says, about midnight, I'll put the verse up so you can see what I'm talking about. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, this is not normal, is it? I mean, normally people are angry and upset and aggressive, and when something bad happens to them or something unjust. And that is sort of the normal sinful reaction. But here, what is not normal is the fact that they are acting like this. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of the Holy Spirit in them. And the Holy Spirit enables us to act abnormally, to act differently in situations. And here is what we see here for these two. It's amazing because now notice it says they're singing hymns to God. That's an interesting phrase. Again, I like sometimes the prepositions. Why am I making a point here? Well, they weren't singing hymns about God, though that would be, there's nothing wrong with that. They were singing hymns to God. There's an element of praise, an element of worship in that circumstance. You see, amazingly, the dungeon turned into a place of worship. This totally blows the theory off that you need a special place to gather, i.e. a church, to worship. No. You can worship anywhere. You can worship everywhere. praise isn't something we give to God just when we meet on Sunday. That this building isn't more fitted to praise than anywhere else. A prison can become a sanctuary of worship, as we see here with Paul and Silas. And so worship isn't something we do once a week. It's something we need to do every single day. Give thanks in all circumstances. We don't just give thanks when things are going well. The example of Paul and Silas tell that we can, because the Holy Spirit is in us as Christians, we can therefore be thankful in all circumstances. Because go back to that list. Well, go down that list. Well, the material blessings, could Paul and Silas still praise God for the material possessions they had? Well, yeah, even though that moment, some of it maybe had been taken away from them. They still had some material things. Paul was a Roman citizen. He had still had a lot of privilege. The spiritual blessings, well, being in a jail cell doesn't change that. You still have forgiveness of your sins. Being in pain doesn't change the fact that you're saved. The way that he has helped us in the past, they could still be thankful for that. That hadn't changed. God had done one miracle after another when you read the book of Acts. He's still abiding present with them. And their promises for the future remained intact. So you see, even in difficult circumstances, all those things, that list of things we can still give thanks for because they haven't changed. Now, sometimes people say, well, how do you do that? I mean, how do you practically do that? Well, I'll say this before I go on to the when. I am in the when. How do you do that? The reason and the way that you do that, as I said, is only because of the help of God. Only the help of the Holy Spirit who changes us, who enables us. Now, there's a verse in, let me take you to one of the Psalms that I love, and I'm just going to put up a couple of verses. It's Psalm 100, and it's an important verse in this context because it says this. It says, give thanks to him. So it's all about giving thanks, and it says, praise his name. That's another word, and it's another aspect of giving thanks is praise. It says, why? Well, I say why, but it says for, so in other words, it's giving us a reason for the gift, the good thanks, for, or because, here's three reasons. The Lord is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's just think about those three reasons really quickly. How can you give thanks in all circumstances, even when it's bad, even when it's difficult, even when it's painful? Number one, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And particularly, his goodness is seen in that though we're sinful, though we are like enemies before God, what did God do? God sent his son, Jesus, to come and live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to rise again from the dead. And rather than giving us what we deserve, which is hell, God offers us peace. He offers us an exchange. He'll take our sin, forgive it, and in exchange, he'll give us eternal life. That's a pretty good deal, if you ask me. That's why the gospel means good news. That wasn't such good news. I guess I'm moving around here a lot. It's okay. We're all okay. So God has given us good news. So when it says, for the Lord is good, it's just reminding us that, hey, we don't deserve anything good, but God is good. And you can be thankful for what he's given you. Now, I want us to look at the second thing here. Not only is God good, and the way we receive this gift of eternal life is through faith, by the way, is through faith in Jesus. All of God's goodness, we can't really experience his goodness to us personally until we open up our life and welcome him into it by faith. So God is good, yes. Second of all, it says his love endures forever. You know, God's love doesn't wear out like batteries do. You know, one of the things about having young kids is my daughter Holly's constantly bringing to me toys that need replacing. The batteries need to be replaced. It sort of feels like it's a weekly thing. There's always some toy in the house or some book that needs batteries or some stuffed animal or something special, and we're constantly putting new batteries. They're constantly wearing out. And God's love isn't like batteries which wear out over time. It's not like the weather that just changes from day to day, from season to season. No, it says The Lord is good. His love endures forever. You see that? That means his goodness and his love for you and for me, it continues. It's gonna continue. In other words, you don't need to, I like this quote by Richard Halverson. He said, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. How true. All we need to do is consider the cross of Christ. That the lengths that God will go through to show his love, he came down in the person of Jesus. He went to that cross for you, for me. And that's how much he loves us. That should signal in our heads, in our minds, in our hearts, that God really must love us. If he came all the way from heaven in living in perfect harmony, where everything was good, everything is done perfectly, and he came down to this earth where things are not so good right now because of sin, where there's pain, where there's suffering, where he'd leave the perfect fellowship of being with his Father, and he'd give that up, and he'd sacrifice some of his glory, as it says in Philippians 2. He emptied himself. Doesn't mean he was less God. He was still fully God, but it's just he became a human being, and he emptied himself of that glory when he became a human being. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He loves you fully. So his love endures. That's why it says it endures forever. It'll last forever. And finally, the third reason you give and I give thanks is because his faithfulness continues through all generations. Now think about that for a second. This implies you don't need to worry about God loving you today and then changing his mind tomorrow or next week or next month. You don't need to worry about God changing his mind about you. His love is constant. In other words, that's what faithfulness is that constant, regular, steady love and care that he has for you. And in fact, I love what this says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, it says, but even if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. So even when we mess up, which we do, even when we sin, God is still faithful. God is still good. God is still loving. All those things are still true. He remains faithful even when we're not. You know, today you might have some things going on in your life that aren't going well. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's a relationship that's strained. Maybe it's a situation at your work. I don't know what it is for you, but God certainly knows. And God is good. He loves you. He is faithful. And so that allows you to therefore give thanks in all circumstances. So we've talked about the what, give thanks, not a suggestion, but a command for those in Christ. Why or when? In all circumstances. And notice there's another part of this verse, though, isn't there? I call it the why. Why? Well, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, typically, I don't know about you, but typically when I think about God's will for my life, I tend to think about the big things, like what career path or a lot of times people, when they come and they ask me questions about God's will and how do I know what God's will for my life is? They're often thinking about, well, who am I going to get married to, or how many kids are going to have, or where should I live, or what job should I take this job or that job, and that's often how we think of God's will. But the Bible has another aspect of God's will that it's important we understand, and this is his will for you, no matter what race, age, gender, ethnicity. God has certain things in his word that he said, this is his will. And this is the amazing thing. This sometimes theologians call it the universal will of God, because universally as true for you as it is for me. The universal aspect of God's will. And this aspect concerns the kind of person he wants you to be. Your beliefs, your character, your attitudes, your thoughts, your speech, your behavior, your priorities, rather than the precise place that you live and job that you take. Even though those are important. Even more important, God wants you to be a certain kind of person in that job, a certain kind of person in that place, a certain kind of person in your home. And so the text here that we see is a perfect example of that. Notice one of the things that is God's will, plain and clear and simple, is that it is his will that you give thanks in all circumstances. Think about that. You want to do God's will? Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We don't have to scratch our head every day and say, what is God's will for me today? I just don't know. No. Because of this book, we can know. It's God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances. And there's many other examples that you could go to. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it's God's will that you be sanctified. And there's many statements about it is God's will that. And this is one of them. And so we don't need to scratch our heads every day and say, oh, am I doing God's will? Am I not? No, it's God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. Now, maybe you're saying, yeah, but that's so hard. That's so difficult. You don't know what I'm going through. If you knew what I was going through, you would understand that, like I said, I don't know what you're going through. That's true. But God knows, and God's put this in the Bible for us to obey. So if he's put that there and he's commanded us to do it, then it's because we can do it with his help. You can do it with God's help. Again, it's not a normal reaction. We need the help of the Holy Spirit who is in us. It's not my normal reaction, because my sinful reaction is to be selfish. And to be, when things aren't going my way, to be upset or impatient or whatever. But with Holy Spirit's help, he changes our mind. He changes our perspective. And we can therefore have a different view. A view that says, hey, God is still good. God is still loving me. He is still faithful. All those things haven't changed. I still have so many blessings. I have so many things to that he has given me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I came across a poem this week again, and I'd heard it before. I've even shared it, I think, before. But when I saw it again, I felt that I wanted to share it in this message. Apparently, at the end of a bloody battle during the American Civil War, someone found a crumpled piece of paper folded in the pocket of a dead soldier. And on that paper was written this prayer that I'll put up. This prayer said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men most richly blessed. You know, that sounds to me like the prayer of a person who has learned to give thanks in all circumstances. That sounds like the prayer of a person who has come to appreciate that each day is a gift from God, and that God has given so many blessings for us. And that even in the midst of the difficulties, even in the midst of the frustrations, even in the midst of things not going our way and prayers not being answered, we can still give thanks in those circumstances. If you're anything like me, you look forward to a good Thanksgiving meal, and I certainly enjoyed ours yesterday. And many of you will eat another meal or today or tomorrow, whenever it is planned. And even if some of the ingredients in that meal will benefit our physical health, there is a kind of Thanksgiving that will benefit your spiritual health each and every day. And that is the act, and that is the practice of giving thanks to God. In word, in song, in expression of our heart, in gratitude, unspoken, spoken. Thanksgiving may be a holiday that we celebrate once a year in Canada, but for the believer in Jesus, I would submit to you that it is something that must be celebrated each and every day. The attitude of gratitude, the act of learning to give thanks to God. And if you do that, I guarantee you, it will be good for your spiritual health. It will not just be good for you, it'll be good for you and your relationship with God. It'll be good for the people around you. Because the people around you will be uplifted because you'll be more thankful, you'll be more positive, and it'll be blessing to those around you. And so there are so many benefits, but the biggest one is what it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You will be doing God's will. You will be doing God's will. You will be confident each day saying, I am doing your will, God, today, because I'm going to give thanks. And not just a barren grin. I think as you do this, it will be something that you want to do. You know, it's been said that when people start to work out physically for the first time or when they're trying to get in shape, at first, it's a very difficult thing. At first, it seems like you're going against everything that your body wants to do, you know, and you're punishing your body almost by doing this exercise and there's a sort of a pain involved. But as is often the case with anything good that's worth doing, as you do it, as you persist in doing it, it becomes easier. And soon your body needs you to do it because it's good for you. And the benefits are huge. I believe it's the same with that with spiritual disciplines. Like prayer, like giving thanks here, even reading your Bible. Sometimes as you start to do it, it can be hard. It can feel like, I'm not making much progress or I don't really want to. But as you do it, what will happen is your body will want that good thing even more. It'll want that act and to be a part of your life. And as you do it, you will be changed. God will change you inside, from the inside out. And so that's the good news. God never tells us to do something that he won't enable us to do. And so you can be sure that if God has told us to give thanks in all circumstances, it's possible and is doable with his help. Again, I'm not talking about mustering up all the will and strength that you have. I'm saying that you need to rely on God and say, God, help me to do this. I want to be thankful. I want to be living this out in my daily life, but I'm going to need your help. Sometimes it helps to write out your thanksgivings just as a discipline. Again, I've done this at different times in my life. I'm not doing it presently, but I know I've done it in the past, and it's helped me to develop that thankfulness. Just write out those blessings. In fact, in my family growing up, one of the things that we did even on the Thanksgiving weekend was to just write out our thanksgivings to God as a family, and we would just take some time. And that was a helpful exercise. And what was encouraging was to read the year after what we were thankful for the year before and to think, wow, I totally forgot about that. And yet that was amazing how God did that. And so that can be the benefit when you write stuff down, is you can then look back and say, yes, this actually was something that I maybe forgot, but then it helps you remember. And so that can be a helpful tool for some of you just to put that into practice. But remember, it is God's will. Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May you do that. May I do that. May God help us to do that even more starting today. Let's pray. Lord God, I just pray for each person here. Thank you for them. Thank you that you are good. You are amazing and great. We are just grateful, Lord. Help us to be people of gratitude, that wherever we go, whoever we talk with, that people would recognize that and go, so, wow, you seem thankful. You seem at peace with this. And maybe they'll look at our life and see that maybe things aren't going so well even in some area of our life, but we still have a peace and a thankfulness. So may that be true of your people here. Help them, encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.